Principle 1. Hustle. I'm staring into the grisly face of one of the single most difficult days of my selling career. I set out cold calling on what is ironically one of the hottest days of the summer. After a long morning of failure, I'm fortunate enough to finally close one sale. From that first sale, I'm able to leverage two more same-day referrals. Then, after an excruciatingly long day of knocking, I end up selling two more homes, one of which refers a family member. I am now one sale away from beating my personal record of 6 sales in a day. However, it's pitch black out now and the day is done. Fortunately, even though the sun is gone, my desire to push past my old performance barrier is not. I continue knocking well past dark until I get another sale. Through diligence and a dash of fortuitousness, I now find myself at the day's end with 7 sales under my belt. In an industry where one sale a day is above average, this is a fantastic accomplishment. I've beat my personal best, and it's now time to go home. I open the car door, plop down in relief, reach out to pull the door closed, but stop with my outstretched arm frozen above the door handle. I wonder, what's the industry record for most sales in a day? The most I personally ever heard of was 11. I'm only 4 away from that. I ponder, how epic would it be to sell 11 and be number 1 in the entire country today? Then the sickening reality of what that would take, getting out of the car and back on my sore feet to do more work, sets in. My body wants nothing more than to retreat from the drudgery of the day to enjoy a quiet, well-deserved drive home. Certainly, nobody would fault me for doing so. All of my coworkers had gone home hours ago, and they would, of course, give me praise and congratulation for what I had done today. I teeter-totter back and forth and eventually decide to keep working. Why not try for 11? The decision to continue is not motivated by money. With 7 accounts, I've already made more money in a single day than any previous day in my entire life. The only thing that enables me to persist is an uncontrollable, incessant appetite for more sales and a curiosity to discover my personal limits. Being much too late to knock doors, I decide to walk through the neighborhood looking for people outside. I do this for 2 more hours late into the night, talking to anyone that is taking out their trash or hanging out on their porch. I press on, and as a heavenly reward for my persistence, I come across a small group of middle-aged women at a house party and squeeze out 4 more same-day installs. I did it. I have just tied the industry record for most sales in a single day. I feel incredible. By this point, my brain hurts, my eyes are sore, my wrist has carpal tunnel from filling out paperwork, and I smell like Satan's crotch. As I'm wrapping up the last sale around midnight, I almost bite my tongue, but out of a fanatic obsession to push to even deeper and deeper limits, I start my referral pitch. I ask each of my new customers who they know that would benefit from my product, and to my secret despair, one customer announces that her mom has been planning on buying. I let out a long sigh and tell her to call her mom and let her know that I'm headed over with an installer, a Red Bull, and some cash. At 1 a.m., I close and install my 12th sale. While a 17-hour workday might seem absolutely insane, stories like these are characteristic among top performers. Top 1%ers understand one simple truth. In order to outperform everybody, you just need to outwork everybody. The greatest secret to success is not a secret at all. The reality is that maximizing your human potential requires absolute consumption. Being number 1 demands your sweat, blood, and tears, your emotional and mental sanity, your personal comfort, and your free time. The distinguishing factor between the top performers and the mediocre masses in any industry is an insatiable hunger for success, a burning, unending need for endless personal production. Your need for ever-increasing performance needs to be out of control to the point that somebody needs to rein you in. Top performers never stop until someone or something forces them to stop, and even then, they stop with great disappointment, never relief. For top-performing sales reps, Their mornings are sales-focused. Their evenings are sales-focused. And as sick as it sounds, at night they even dream about prospecting and selling. When the work is hard, they push. When it's tedious, they push harder. When they are physically, mentally, and emotionally drained, they push even harder. They push with no expectation of cessation. You must recognize that hustle is less about physical strength and more about mental will. You must master your mind. Even when in the depths of frustration and all-around fatigue, high performers hustle with the same ferocity as they would at their physical and emotional peak. They are machines. Work ethic is a muscle that becomes stronger with use. In order to maximize your potential and perform in the top 1% of all human beings, you need to outwork 99% of all human beings. This will become possible once you, one, understand the true purpose of work, two, emulate history's greatest hustlers, and three, pass the three hustle tests. Strengthening your hustle muscle, part one. Understand the true purpose of work. Job or gym? Most people never reach the level of work ethic necessary to make them a top performer. This is because most people do not understand the true purpose of work. Consider this. How much would you pay for a membership to a gym that had no weights? If you're like most people, you'd pay nothing. Why? Because a gym with no weights does not accomplish its purpose. You go to the gym because all the resistance is there. You go for the weights, the treadmills, and everything else that creates resistance and physical difficulty that's needed to burn fat and strengthen muscles. We all understand the purpose of the gym, so we pay the price in money, time, and physical effort to get the results we want. When it comes to work, however, people are often very confused about its purpose. Most people work only to make money. This is a terrible mistake. This is like paying to go to the gym for the air conditioning and water. AC and water are part of the benefits of the gym, but they're not the reason you go there. So it is with work. Money is a natural byproduct of work, but the true purpose of work is personal development. Work is to your personal development what weights are to your muscles. Through the work process, you evolve into a better human being. Money will never give you a deep enough motive to employ a work ethic gnarly enough to become the best version of yourself and a top 1% performer. People who work only for money will always end up quitting. Either they will quit their jobs or they will quit their pursuit of becoming the best. This is because money frequently will not appropriately compensate you for the sacrifices you are making and the pain you are suffering. But if instead you are working to become your absolute best, the temporary financial imbalances will become irrelevant and you will stay the course to find phenomenal success, material wealth, and most importantly, personal growth. The purpose of work is to improve your character and being. Proper hustle leads to self-actualization, the full realization of one's human potential. As stated by the 1950s opera sensation Beverly Sills, there are no shortcuts to any place worth going. When you lift heavy weights, you experience pain as the fibers of your muscles tear. It hurts while you're doing it, and it hurts after. But through the pain, you become stronger, leaner, healthier, and more confident. You understand there is no other way to gain muscle than through this pain. Therefore, pain is the portal to progress. There is no other path. There is no way to rise, to earn, and perform in the top 1% without the resistance that comes with it. To quote Jocko Willink, "Everyone wants some magic pill, some life hack that eliminates the need to do the work. But that does not exist. There is no easy way. There is only hard work, late nights, early mornings, practice, rehearsal, repetition, study, sweat, blood, toil, frustration, and discipline." This leads us to a universal law. Resistance is the law of growth. If you want to progress in any endeavor, there is only one path, pain and resistance. Work is the weight against which you rip the fiber of your character and thereby grow into a better and more powerful human being. This is why the top 1% of performers do not fear failure. They understand that even if they fail to achieve their goals, they have progressed themselves in the process. Suppose a bodybuilder attempts to lift a weight heavier than he has ever lifted before. He attempts 3 times every day for a month, every time he fails. But his failures do not deter him because he knows that with every attempt he becomes stronger. He understands that the outcome is not as relevant as the process, and that through the process he will inevitably reach his goal. The top 1% do not fear failure for the same reason. If they keep pushing their work ethic to its absolute limits, they will continue evolving as people, and in time, they will achieve their goals. To quote James Allen from As a Man Thinketh, "Even if you fail again and again to accomplish your purpose, as you necessarily must until weakness is overcome, the strength of character gained will be the measure of your true success, and this will form a new starting point for future power and triumph." Ponder the parting advice of Megiddo, an ancient Babylonian slave to his replacement. "Some men hate work. They make it their enemy. Better to treat it like a friend. Make thyself like it. If your master does not appreciate all thou do, never mind. Don't mind because it is hard. If thou thinkest about what a good house thou build, then who cares if the beams are heavy and it is far from the well to carry the water for the plaster? Remember, work well done does good to the man who does it. It makes him a better man." As a slave who was never paid and often underappreciated, Megiddo learned that the true value of work is not money or recognition, but strength of character. Life is a series of trade-offs. You give this to get that. There is a fixed price that must be paid in order for you to become the greatest and evolve into the best version of yourself. The universe demands voluntary subjection to resistance as the payment required for progression, and that resistance comes in the form of back-breaking work. As Sir Thomas Paine, author and influencer during the Revolutionary War, penned his letters, he dug for the words of life that would inspire a nation of downtrodden soldiers to fight to victory. In stirring them to rise up in rebellion against tyranny, he declared, "That which we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only which gives everything its value. These are times which try men's souls, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." In other words, the more worthwhile the pursuit, the harder the path will be to achieve it. Maximizing your human and performance potential is a prize that cannot be obtained cheaply. Strengthening Your Hustle Muscle, Part 2. Emulate History's Greatest Hustlers. Work ethic is the master key that the world's top achievers have all used to unlock never-before-seen human potential. A review of the lives and accomplishments of two of history's top performers will corroborate this truth. Nelson Mandela and Michelangelo stand as profound examples of how to turn resistance and hard work into personal development and accomplishment. Consider how their application of the hustle principle allowed them to not only become number one in their fields, but create a lasting and influential legacy. As you read their stories, focus not only on what they accomplished, but also on who they were as people. From Chains to Gains. The story of Nelson Mandela highlights the potential that resistance has to build us into better people. Pay particular attention to how Nelson viewed difficult challenges not as obstacles to be avoided, but as weights that he could resist to become stronger. Seeking to create peace in his home country of South Africa, Nelson Mandela pursued political activism beginning in his 20s. Decades later, the institution he so bravely fought against sentenced him to life imprisonment. Nelson was banished to an island jail where everyone expected him to rot until his death. Confined to a tiny cell with no prospect of freedom, most people would have given up and withered away. But Nelson didn't wither. he grew. Nelson's persistence turned into good fortune when, after 27 years in prison, he was released. Nelson used prison as a gym for his character and personal development. He walked out a better person than he entered. 3 years following his release, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. 4 years after that, he was elected as president, the first president of the now democratic South Africa. While incarcerated, a scrap of paper with an inscribed poem consistently reminded Nelson of his choice to use suffering as a tool for personal growth. Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. While imprisoned, this poem resonated with Nelson. He lived in a black pit of darkness. Chance and poor luck had struck him like a bludgeon. He existed in a place of wrath, tears, and horror. This chapter of his life was characterized by difficulty and punishment, yet he resisted all of these things and remained thankful, unconquered, unbowed, unafraid, and empowered. Nelson used his imprisonment as a form of resistance against which he could develop as a person. He grew to his full potential because he saw setbacks, suffering, injustices, and difficulty not as obstacles to be avoided, but as stepping stones to be utilized. While imprisoned, he often felt deep despair as he contemplated the possibility of spending his entire life in jail. Rather than giving into this despair, however, Nelson resisted it. He used his imagination to envision a life of freedom. He pondered hopefully about the things he would do and accomplish following his release. In this way, he took powerful despair and used it to strengthen his hope and imagination. While imprisoned, Nelson found himself engulfed in bitterness and hatred toward the corrupt individuals who had fought him and wrongfully imprisoned him. But rather than giving in to this hatred, however, Nelson resisted it. He focused his energy on forgiving these individuals and creating love in his heart for them. In this way, he took powerful animosity and used it to strengthen his powers of love and forgiveness. While imprisoned, Nelson was physically devoid of personal freedom. But rather than accepting his fate as a prisoner, he looked for opportunities to exercise the limited freedoms that he had. Most importantly, he still possessed the freedom to think. Instead of focusing on his cell walls, he used this personal opportunity to think deeply and often. In this way, he took the reality of his confinement and used it to strengthen his personal freedom. Jail was Nelson's gym. At the end of his 30-year character workout, he walked away as one of the greatest leaders to ever live. Nelson viewed his failures and setbacks in the context of how they developed him as a person. He was famous for often stating, "I never lose. I either win or I learn." Top performers view the suffering that comes from struggling and striving, grinding and hustling, the same way. Maybe you spent an entire week knocking doors and didn't sell a single account. Maybe you have been working your guts out on a passion project that has gained no traction. Maybe you've studied harder than anyone around you and are still flunking. None of these things are bad as long as they progress you personally. In these moments, ask yourself, what have I learned from the process? How did the experience strengthen me? You only fail when you fail to learn and grow. In summary, you cannot progress to become your best without resistance. That resistance comes in the form of hard work. Your work, then, is not a job, it's a gym. Use it to strengthen your character and grow to maximize your potential. The Praying Producer. Born in Italy in 1475, Michelangelo is often revered as the greatest artist to ever live. He was a top performer in every aesthetic he touched: sculpting, painting, architecture, poetry, and engineering. His works are ranked among the most famous in existence, many being produced in his youth. His legacy as a top performer will never be forgotten. The bulk of the literature surrounding Michelangelo attributes his success to his genius, and who could doubt that a person of such superior accomplishment in his field could be anything but a genius? How else could his level of performance be explained? Interestingly, the person who most strongly refuses to attribute genius as the Michelangelo success factor is Michelangelo himself. In a humble plea to place the credit for his accomplishments in their proper place, he stated, "If people only knew how hard I had to work to gain my mastery, it would not seem so wonderful at all." What Michelangelo is saying is that what deserves admiration is not his paintings or sculptures, but the work ethic and pure hustle that produced them. He clearly states what every top performer understands perfectly. His masterpieces were not the product of some genetic gift. They were the logical and predictable fruit of his work ethic. He almost seems to suggest that any artist could have produced the same had they only worked as hard as he did. The true masterpiece was not Michelangelo's art. It was his work ethic. And his hustle was truly wonderful indeed. Michelangelo's greatest accomplishment, the painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, exemplifies the type of work ethic he embodied. Any single square foot of that painting contains enough skillful detail to be considered a masterpiece in and of itself. So the fact that the painting covers not just one square foot, or even 1,000, but 12,000 square feet, makes it a testament to the capacity of human work. The massive work ethic required to produce this piece remains so unrivaled that 5 centuries later, people from around the world still flock in droves to admire it. Over 5 million people per year view it, generating $114 million in revenue for the Vatican. One historian described the work ethic required to produce the frescoes on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo's tormented and lonely work went on for 4 endless years. Imagine what it must have been like, working for hours, high up on dangerous catwalk, lit only by candlelight, in an incredibly uncomfortable position, lying on his back or with his arms continuously raised and his eyes fixed on the ceiling. Imagine the cramps and the beating his eyes took. In fact, his sight remained damaged forever. Not to mention the bother of the paint constantly dripping onto his face. Michelangelo fell twice from that catwalk, even breaking his leg. But he continued to paint, to create. End quote. Teetering on scaffolding 70 feet above the tile of that chapel, he painted and painted and painted and painted, year after year after year after year. To call Michelangelo a genius is an insult, because it suggests that he had some genetic advantage that allowed him to do what he did. Michelangelo led humanity in artistic performance the same way that every top performer in every field has ever done it: through painstaking, blinding, bone-breaking work. Work should be revered as one of the most sacred verbs in the human lexicon, because it is responsible for breeding the greatest accomplishments of humanity. Michelangelo was a work ethic maniac. He was his own greatest competitor. Even after setting an artistic precedent never before accomplished, he continued to hustle. He worked until the day he died, painting and sculpting until the age of 89. He never retired. He never stopped. He outworked his competition. He outworked his peers. He outworked himself for his entire life. Had he based his benchmark on money or the performance of others, he never would have reached the heights he did or maximized his full potential. Is it possible for anyone to duplicate Michelangelo's artistic accomplishments? Well, that depends on a variety of factors. But the more important question is whether it is possible to develop the work ethic that Michelangelo embodied to be able to create similar masterpieces in your field of work. And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Michelangelo left one final piece of literature to carry with us in our endeavors. His entire life, and truly the life of all great producers, could be summarized by this one line. You would do well to utter these words daily. He was once heard offering the following plea to heaven, what could be dubbed the prayer of the producer. Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I accomplish. Strengthening your hustle muscle, part 3. Pass the 3 hustle tests. It's now clear in your mind that painfully difficult work is the only path to maximizing your potential and performing in the top 1%. But how do you objectively measure work ethic? How do you know if you're hustling hard enough? Most people measure work using time as a yardstick. In other words, they quantify their hustle by how many hours they work. But how do you quantify how hard you actually work during those hours? This is difficult because work is often subjective in nature. Nobody thinks they're lazy, but the truth is that one person's maximum effort may be another person's level of lazy. So how do you know if you're really working hard or if you are just hardly working? How can you empirically measure if your hustle is sufficient enough to maximize your human potential and put you in the top 1%? When it comes to growth in your work ethic, there are 3 simple tests that will guarantee you are employing the type of work necessary to get where you want to be. Hustle test number 1, turning today's limits into tomorrow's standards. A standard is the expectation. Standards are comfortable and simple. It's how far you should go every day. It's the number of hours you can work without even breaking a sweat. Not hitting today's standard is shocking because it's so easy and attainable for you. By contrast, a limit is the boundary of what's possible. It represents the furthest you can go, the maximum amount of doors you can knock, or numbers you can dial before completely shutting down. It's the amount of hours you can stare at a computer screen crunching numbers before your eyes fall out. Hitting today's limits mean you gave everything you had and could not go any further. At one point in the past, all of your current standards represented your limits. The first time you took out the trash as a little kid, you thought it was the hardest work that you could possibly do, but you kept doing chores until they became easy. It was the same with your first real homework assignment and your first job. In the beginning, all of these things were barely doable, but by purposefully and consistently pushing to and through those limits, they eventually became easier. You've been taking today's limits and converting them into tomorrow's standards your whole life. Here's how to test if you are currently hustling hard enough. Ask yourself, am I still converting today's work limits into tomorrow's standards? Am I pushing myself to and through my new limits on a daily basis? Most people are not. Most people get to a certain point in their life and stop pushing forward. Limits are hard and painful. Standards are easy and comfortable, and most people at one time or another choose easy. Which did you choose today? Which will you choose tomorrow? Will you coast on your standards or push yourself to your limits? You must identify daily when you have hit your limit. Actively watch for those moments when exhaustion, fatigue, frustration, annoyance, and pain start to set in. When you feel like you just can't work any harder. Catch yourself right before you're about to quit and then conscientiously force yourself to work just a little more. To quote Jocko Willink again, whenever your feelings are screaming that you've had enough, when you think you are going to break emotionally, override that emotion with concrete logic and willpower that says one thing, I don't stop, end quote. If you engage in this process every day, you will find that what formerly represented the absolute limits of your work ethic have now become painless and normal for you. You will have turned today's limits into tomorrow's standards. To quote Ralph Waldo Emerson, That which we persist in doing becomes easier to do. Not that the nature of the thing has changed, but that our power to do has increased. End quote. Do not fall into the trap of comparing yourself to people who don't work as hard as you. Outworking someone who is lazy may mean working under your personal limits or standards. Instead, compare yourself to the hardest working person you can find. Also, don't subjectively conclude that you are a hard worker based on your biased self-assessment. The only way to consistently gauge if you are actually working your hardest is by identifying your limits and pushing past them until you develop new and higher limits. The Iron Cowboy. Endurance athletics is a growing sport that focuses on long periods of sustained physical activity. James Lawrence is a world-renowned endurance athlete and a record holder, known for his most incredible accomplishment, the 50-50-50. An Ironman race consists of a 2.4-mile swim, followed by a 112-mile bike ride, all topped off by a 26.2-mile marathon run. Most people could not finish even one leg of an Ironman. James did 54 Ironman races, back-to-back, in 50 days, in 50 states. Setting aside the logistical impossibility of getting to all 50 states in such a short period of time, the feat was deemed physically impossible by medical professionals. At one point, James's exhaustion caused him to fall asleep while riding his bike. The injuries sustained from the crash should have stopped him from continuing, but he persisted. He finished the 50-50-50 and set a new world record. The most interesting part about all this is that James already held the record for most Ironman completed in a year. Over the course of 2012, he finished 30 Ironman races. In other words, at the time of the 50-50-50, James was already number one in the world. So why would anybody in that position subject themselves to so much physical pain and misery? It all comes down to purpose. James does not bike, swim, and run to lose weight or even to be number one. If he did, there would have been no reason for the 50-50-50. What drives James is pushing the limits of his human potential. He wants to see if he can take something that is impossible for him today and make it a reality tomorrow. Endurance racing just happens to be his chosen method. Quoting James, "I found the most success in my life when I try to set new standards." To me, this is what the human experience is all about. Challenging yourself to find the limits of your mental, physical, and spiritual self. It makes you feel alive. It's an incredible thing. Becoming the best version of yourself means pushing beyond what you think your standard of excellence is. End quote. All top performers in all industries are endurance athletes because they've found different ways to push the limits of their human potential. For sales reps, the doors and the phones are the bicycles we pedal over and over and over again to become the best versions of ourselves. We may not look like endurance athletes, but at our core, we are no different. For us, it's not about the actual job we are doing, but it's about exploring the impossible within our industry and striving to make it a reality. Stop seeing yourself as an employee with a job and start seeing yourself as an endurance athlete with a purpose. Use your work to push the limits of your human potential and become the best version of yourself. Then continue that process until you pass up 99% of all humanity in performance. Hustle test number 2. Ridiculous and sickening work ethic. Sickening. Definition. Extremely unpleasant, causing a feeling of sickness, nausea, disgust, or shock. Ridiculous. Definition. Worthy of ridicule, preposterous, laughable, absurd. Will Smith is one of the entertainment industry's greatest producers to have ever lived. By the age of 18, his rap career had already made him a millionaire. After transitioning to movies, he became the only actor in history to have 8 number one box office films open back to back. His films have grossed over $5 billion globally. Will consistently made Fortune magazine's richest 40 under 40, and Entertainment Weekly named him one of the top 5 smartest people in Hollywood. Newsweek called him the most powerful actor in Hollywood. Will clearly possesses the key to peak performance and, as is the case with all true producers, gives out copies freely. In the following quote, he selflessly offers a universal path to success in any endeavor. Said Will, "I've never really viewed myself as particularly talented. Where I excel is ridiculous, sickening work ethic. While the other guy is sleeping, I'm working. While the other guy is eating, I'm working. The only thing that I see that is distinctly different about me is that I'm not afraid to die on a treadmill. You might have more talent than me. You might be smarter than me. But if we get on a treadmill together, there's only two outcomes. You're getting off first or I'm going to die. I will not be outworked, period. It's such a simple, basic concept. The majority of people aren't achieving the things that they want strictly based on hustle." Will not only properly identifies work ethic as the key to his success, but also perfectly defines the type of hustle you need in order to dominate life and become the best version of yourself. If you want success, you must pay the price and embody a work ethic so unnatural that it's sickening. Not just sickening to you, but so gnarly it makes other people sick just to watch you work. A work ethic so powerful, it catapults far past impressive, far past respectable, far past intense, and could only be described as ridiculous. By randomly populating synonyms and antonyms for the word ridiculous and sickening, we get the following two lists. Imagine that everyone that works with you was handed these two lists and asked to check all that describe your hustle. Which list would best describe you at this moment? List number one. A regular, respectable work ethic. A reasonable, sound work ethic. A doable, satisfactory work ethic. A sensible, decent work ethic. A reasonable, adequate work ethic. A conventional, comfortable work ethic. A balanced, decent work ethic. A normal, suitable work ethic. A rational, agreeable work ethic. A typical, straightforward work ethic. A common, kosher work ethic. An ordinary, desirable work ethic. Now list number two, substituting in synonyms for ridiculous and sickening. An absurd, unspeakable work ethic. An irrational, nauseating work ethic. An unreasonable, upsetting work ethic. A bizarre, disturbing work ethic. A ludicrous, shocking work ethic. A laughable, repulsive work ethic. An illogical, revolting work ethic. An outrageous, unhealthy work ethic. An impossible, repugnant work ethic. An unbelievable, atrocious work ethic. An inconceivable, offensive work ethic. A preposterous, nasty work ethic. That one's my favorite. You might be wondering, what's wrong with a regular, conventional, and ordinary work ethic? The answer is nothing. If you want to be regular, conventional, and an ordinary person who accomplishes regular, conventional, and ordinary things. But if you want to become someone that accomplishes something phenomenal, awe-inspiring, and extraordinary, then a ridiculous and sickening work ethic is required. Are you currently employing a ridiculous and sickening work ethic? If not, what are you going to do to start today? Hustle test number three, the 10X rule. Grant Cardone, author of the 10X rule, states that most people profoundly underestimate the amount of work it takes to accomplish their goals. Whatever level of effort you think is necessary to accomplish your goals, multiply it by 10, and then you will have the price necessary to truly achieve your dreams. 10x the action, 10x the effort, 10x the thoughts, 10x the calls, 10x the doors, 10x the reading, 10x the pain, 10x the sweat, and 10x the tears. Work at a pace that you think will get you 10 times the results you want. As you do, you will eventually experience a tipping point where your attitude toward work and the nature of work itself changes into something beautiful and desirable. Work will change from a nasty pill you have to force yourself to swallow into delicious candy you can't wait to eat. Grant Cardone explains. Begin quote. Most people only work enough so that it feels like work, whereas successful people work at a pace that gets such satisfying results that work is a reward. Truly successful people don't even call it work. For them, it's a passion. End quote. As you study the remaining principles, recognize that without an insane work ethic, none of the other principles matter. As you continue to read, you will discover that there really are no secrets in this book or in life. Danish soccer champion G.K. Nielsen said it best. Successful people are not gifted. They just work hard, then succeed on purpose. Principle 1, Hustle. Summary and action items. Remember, the true purpose of work is to unlock your human potential. Don't work for money, work for character. Money will follow personal growth. Resistance is the law of growth. Lessons from history's top producers. Nelson Mandela. Setbacks are actually spring forwards as long as you embrace the resistance. What setbacks and difficulties are you experiencing in your life right now? What positive effect could they have on your life? How could they help you grow as a person? Think about the setback, and then think about what growth opportunity it presents. Michelangelo, stay hungry. Pray that your appetite will always outpace your accomplishments. Repeat the prayer of the producer every morning on your way out to work. Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I accomplish. What opportunities will become available to you in your current job if you just work harder? Hustle test number 1, turning today's limits into tomorrow's standards. Think about your personal bests in your job, career, company, field, industry, endeavor, or ambition. For example, what is the most hours you've ever worked in a day, week, or month? The most hours spent recruiting? The most hours spent on personal development and training? Write out these work ethic limits and, more importantly, what you are going to do to push past those former limits this week. Hustle test number 2, ridiculous and sickening work ethic. Are you hustling so hard that your work ethic could only be described as ridiculous and sickening? What are you going to change this week to adopt a ridiculous and sickening work ethic? Hustle test number 3. Think of the answer to these questions. Are you working at a pace that would be required to hit goals 10 times larger than what you are actually trying to accomplish? Does work feel like work, or does it feel like passion? What are you going to do to 10x your hustle going forward? Finally, I have some recommended reading for the principle of hustle. First is The 10x Rule by Grant Cardone. Also, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, especially Chapter 2 entitled The 10,000 Hour Rule. I recommend Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And I did the condensed audiobook. It's really large. Even the audiobook is like 10 hours, the condensed one. I recommend The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino, Scroll number 3. Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance by Angela Duckworth, and Iron Cowboy, Redefine Impossible by James Lawrence.